tremendous, remarkable story. There's no way I'm going to get through this morning. God will show us how to end it. I don't know. But we've been in our study in the book of Joshua, and boy, what a study it has been for me. I hope it has been for you. But as we come into chapter 10 and verse number 1, we are introduced to some key major players in the fulfilling of this story. And at this particular stage of it, we remember what all has gone on, and I'll reiterate that, I think, in a moment. But as Israel was conquering Jericho and Ai, and Gibeon had come into an alliance with God's people, the king of Jerusalem, verse 1, tells us his name was Adonai Zedek. He got mighty, mighty fearful. And so he sends out a memo to all of the other kings in the regions. Small nations, we can call them. They were cities, the governors and the leaders of them. And verses 1 through 5 are telling us of that story of how that he sent out this memo and said, I need you to come and help us. It is once again, and we've seen this several times through the book of Joshua, and we'll see it again, but it is once again an alliance that was being made against God's people. Amen. There's never a day that passes that there's not a new alliance. Amen. That is being made against you, and many of the times you don't even know it. The devil is behind every bit of it. Amen. And so he sends out a note to all of these other kings, Hebron, Jarmuth, Eglon, several of them that are listed in there. And he says, come and join together with us. We've got to stop this. They're bearing down on us. We've got to stop this. And then when you come to verse number 5, I want you to look at the final words of it. They all did come together, and look at what it says, and they made war. They made war against it, that is Gibeon. You see, what had happened is these five kings had come together, and they had decided that instead of attacking Israel and their camp, they were going to try to draw Israel in and a weak point into the battle at Gibeon. Gibeon had made an alliance. Do you remember that?
Amen.
A deceptive alliance with Israel. And so they were going to go after Gibeon and try to bring Israel into it in a weaker point. And so these five kings, these five small nations, came together and made war against Gibeon. Perhaps Joshua chapter 10 is one of the most preached chapters in the entire book of Joshua. And a lot of the reason for that is because of what we find in verses 12, 13, and 14, and that wonderful story of the day the sun stood still.
Amen.
I'm not going to get to it this morning, but the Lord willing, tonight, I'm going to come back and revisit that with you tonight. We'll get to several aspects of it, but I'm not just going to build our thoughts today just upon that story. And that's where a lot of preachers do it, and that's fine. However, God leads them of just what happened in those three verses, 12, 13, and 14, in the day that the sun stood still. And there's a lot of details that surrounds it. But I tell you where my burden has been as we've approached this Sunday is more upon the battles that took place that led up to that moment of when God worked that mighty miracle of the day the sun stood still, and how that they relate to the everyday aspects of the Christian life. And so this morning, as we continue our series on leaving nothing undone, here's what I simply want to speak to you about for a little while this morning. And God will show us when to quit and how to quit on it. But I want to talk to you about a bird's eye view of the battle. A bird's eye view of the battle. Just Wednesday night before last, I mentioned the name Napoleon to you, and I shared a little story concerning that mighty leader Napoleon. Most of you have probably heard the name Napoleon. Napoleon was French, and he has gone down in history as being one of the greatest military commanders and minds that history, the entire world, has ever known. Napoleon fought many battles during the French Revolution. If there was ever a man who knew a little bit about fighting battles and fighting wars, it would have certainly been this man, Napoleon. Napoleon once stood at what is known as the precipice. The precipice is the place that is overlooking the valley of Jezreel. Those of you that will join us in the Holy Land here in a few months, you will stand in the very spot that Napoleon stood and look out over the valley of Jezreel at one of the most remarkable sights that you will ever see in your life. The valley of Jezreel is the place, and up on the precipice is actually the place where Satan came and he tempted the Lord Jesus. Do you remember that? And Christ responded with Scripture. It is also the place where our Lord will one day defeat the armies of the world at the Battle of Armageddon. Napoleon stood in this very place once, and he said it was the greatest and most natural battlefield in the entire world. I believe that to be true. One of the reasons that it was the most natural and the greatest battlefield is because from the mountains on all side there of Jezreel, you could look down and you could have the military commanders that were up there, and they were able to see from a bird's eye view every move that their army and the opposing armies were making. It was right there before them. You know, sometimes as we are trying to live this life, and look, we are in the battles of this life today, aren't we? As we are fighting the battles of our victorious Christian life, striving to leave nothing undone, it is a very rare thing that we can see, that we can know, and that we can have a bird's eye view of the battle that is before us in our Christian life. So much of it is not seen, but one of the most glorious things about the Word of God is that if you really get into this book, the Bible will tell you and give you a bird's eye view of the battles that you are currently fighting. And there are people in this room today, I'm talking to you, friend, I'm talking to you, there are people in this room today, you are fighting battles that nobody else in this world knows about. You don't know what's next. You don't know what the next attack of the enemy is going to be, but there is a battle that is raging in your life on this very Sunday morning. But I want you to know upon the authority of God's Word that God has given you a bird's eye view of the battle. There are some things that you can, as a believer, striving to live a victorious life and leaving nothing undone. And that's the key. You've got to strive to live a victorious life and leave nothing undone in it. There are some things that God unequivocally gives us right here on the pages of His Word in Joshua chapter 10. He is affording us the opportunity to do just that. To see exactly what the battle is going to be that is laying before us. To see the various stages or aspect of the battle that we are facing from a bird's eye view. And today, tonight, when we walk away from here this evening, what my prayer truly is that God would let you know that as you go and fight the battles of life, that there are three aspects of them that you can know that if you're living a victorious Christian life, if your goal is to leave nothing undone when you leave this world for the Lord, there are three things you can count on. Aspects of the battle. And the first one that I want you to write down is the somatic or the stressful aspect of the battle. Now, when I use that word somatic, the word is actually referring to the body. And so when we talk about the somatic, it is referring really to the physical aspect of the battle. Everyone who has ever made an effort and made a striving effort to live a victorious Christian life and leave nothing undone in it, you know exactly what I am referring to here. Because you understand without any doubt that there is a stress, there is a battle that is raging, and you feel the stress, and it is a physical stress that falls upon our bodies. Serving God is not something that does not affect your physical strength. It is not something that does not affect your body. You're giving all you've got. You're giving every bit of strength that you have. And listen, if you're going to live a victorious Christian life, leaving nothing undone, it's going to take everything that you've got. Why should somebody else be the one that is being faithful and you just enjoy all the benefits of it? They're the ones that are paying the price that you're able to enjoy. No, no. You ought to be involved in it. And there is a battle that rages with your body. And we are seeing that expressed to us here on the stories of Israel and the story of Israel as they were now facing this brand new battle that they were not expecting and that they never wanted. For they learned that it was something that was a sudden offensive that came upon them. Their bodies found themselves where they were having to fight a battle again. A battle they did not want, a battle that they were not expecting. We remember that as chapter 9 continued to develop, and oh, what a story it was. Gibeon had slipped in deception into the camp of God's people, and the people of God, in such a naive way, they had made a peace alliance with Gibeon. Gibeon, of course, was the picture of Satan in the Bible, operating in deception. And so as this was unfolding, the Canaanite nations, they were already afraid of Israel because of how they were mowing over everybody in the land. But now they had made an alliance with Gibeon. And if you were to read the first verses there of chapter number 10, we will learn that Gibeon was a great city. The Bible actually calls it a royal city. And so therefore, the fear and the concern, the uneasiness of every other nation and city in the Canaan region that they were in at this point, they really got scared then. The intensity of their fear, it was only increased because they knew that the threat was greater then than it had ever been before. And so in a proactive effort, as I mentioned to you, these five kings, they had come together to do war against Gibeon because in doing so, they were hoping to weaken, slow, and stop entirely the move of God. Hinder the very promise of God. And if you looked in verse number 6, the Bible declares, "And the men of Gibeon, they sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal." And we'll understand in the next week or two why that Gilgal is so important again, saying, "Slack not." They're saying, hey, don't think this isn't important. "Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us." Gibeon is saying, "You got to come help us. We're about to fight a battle that we were not anticipating." Gibeon found himself in that place. It's here that we find that Israeli army, they were at home in Gibeon again, in Gilgal again. They were there in Gilgal. They were resting with their families. They were caring for their wounded. They were strategizing about what their next move was really going to be in the battle. Bottom line, they were resting and they were just enjoying the promises of God in the land of God's promise. They were having a good time in it. But ladies and gentlemen, suddenly, out of the middle of nowhere, without any plan, without any intent whatsoever, they found themselves physically being thrust back into the battle that they never expected, the battle that they never wanted. Now, every person who is striving to live that victorious Christian life, leaving nothing undone in it, again, you know what I am talking about here, because there have been times when you have just been physically tired from the battles that you are facing in your life. And boy, every one of us could probably throw our hand up right there. Not only today are you physically tired from the battles of life, but you know what I mean. You've just been physically tired from the battles of Jericho. Remember? Jericho, it was the world. From the battles of Ai, it was the flesh. And from the battle of Gibeon, it was the devil. And you were just physically tired of it. You didn't want to go home. You were satisfied right where you were. But then suddenly, quickly, as the Bible word is, You found yourself physically being thrust back into another battle. Another struggle, maybe with your health. Another struggle, maybe with having to give long hours to serve God. Another struggle, maybe with this or that, that is involving the work of God. You find yourself being thrust back into it, and you weren't ready for it. You weren't ready to get out of your recliner of Gilgal. You weren't ready to walk back out on the battlefield and leave your family who were there back at Gilgal. You wanted to rest a little bit longer. You wanted to heal a little bit more. You wanted to enjoy the promises of God a little bit longer, and you just weren't ready for it. But yet, suddenly, quickly, you found yourself being thrust back into the middle of it, and you had to do it. You had no choice in getting back into the battle and continuing to serve God, because you knew and you understood, because you were striving to live a victorious Christian life that left nothing undone. You knew that the only way you would be successful in leaving nothing undone and living for God is for you to get back in the battle, but you were just physically tired. You just didn't want to go on with it. This is exactly where Israel was. It was a sudden offensive that they didn't want to get back involved in, but they had to do it because there was a sure obligation that they had made. They had no choice. They had to get back in the battle. Now, we all know exactly what is happening here. We understand the story. Part of the alliance that was made with God's people, with Gibeon, was that if an enemy ever came against them and came to attack them, they were going to have to run to their aid. Remember, we likened it last time to like a NATO situation. If it was an attack on one, it was an attack on all. And so if anybody ever came against Gibeon, Israel, by the binding accord that they had made, they had to jump into the battle. They had to go and they had to defend them. They had an obligation to get into the battle. Now, this is just a simple point to ponder, but I want you to really get it in your heart. This is a battle that Israel would not have had to have fought at this time, at this place, and in this way, had they not made a naive peace agreement. Had they not made an irresponsible, impulsive peace agreement with the enemy. They would have eventually had to have conquered Gibeon, but it would have been on their terms. But in this case, they were having to be thrust back into the battle once more because they had made an irresponsible decision and they had snuggled up close with the enemy, the devil, Gibeon, and made that peace accord. How many battles are we having to fight today because we made an irresponsible accord with the devil one day? We decided to go and do something. We decided to act a certain way. We decided to say certain things. There are people, no doubt, that are in here today. You are reeling from the battles of life because of the things you've said and the things you've done, and it didn't have to be that way. You could have attacked the enemy upon God's standard and not upon the enemy's standard. You could have gone about it a totally different way, but because you made a peace accord with the enemy, you're having to jump into battle today, and it's a battle that you're really not ready for. It's a battle that you're not prepared for. You're not prepared to be a mom and a dad right now having to deal with these things. You're not prepared to be a husband or a wife having to deal with some of the things that your marriage is dealing with. You're not prepared to go and do this. You're not prepared to go and do that because you had made an accord and you made a decision way back yonder somewhere to get up close with the devil, and as a result, you're being thrust into a conflict. A physical struggle, and stress is overwhelming you today, and you just were not prepared to handle the stress. Merely a point to ponder. Be careful, ladies and gentlemen, about the way you snuggle up with the things of this world, the enemies of this world, the deception and how it comes in. You're going to fight the battle for it one day. It's going to be stressful upon your body. But with all that in mind, and with all of that said, like it or not, and we don't like it, if we are going to live a victorious Christian life that leaves nothing undone for the Lord, you just need to understand something. Can we just be honest? You just need to understand something. You are going to have to be in the battle. Amen. Yeah. All right? There's no such thing of you not fighting in the battle. There's no such thing as you taking an extended leave of absence from the battle of living a victorious Christian life that leaves nothing undone in it. No, you are going to have to be in the battle. As a direct result of that, there is no place in this battle for people who are weak. There is no place in this battle for people who are cowardly. There's no place in this battle, listen to me, for people who are not committed to the battle. There's no place for it. You're going to be in the battle. If you're going to live a victorious Christian life, leaving nothing undone, you will be in the battle. Going to be there. Just go ahead and drop your anchor on it now. Go ahead and prepare for it now. Now, you can make the choice. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But I tell you, I'm not going to strive to live a victorious Christian life. I don't care if I leave everything on the table when my life is over. I don't care if I leave everything undone. And I'll maybe be able to avoid some of the battles, perhaps, that you wouldn't have to fight if you were really serving God. Sure, you can make that choice. But I tell you, I'm looking at the big picture myself. I'm looking at eternity. I'm looking at the things that really matter in this world and in this universe and in this age. And I want to fight it hard. I don't want to leave anything undone. Do you ever get weary sometimes of hearing people moan and groan? No, hold on. Do you ever get weary of hearing yourself moan and groan? About how they or about how you, just how tired, just how overwhelmed, and just how stressed out you really are. Because of the battles that you are having to face in this life. It's constant and it is non-stop. And the first thing that we want to do when the battle gets hot is we want to back away from serving God. Because we've convinced ourselves that this is what's stressing us out. I mean, my goodness. Our overtime at work, that's not stressing us out. And we're not going to touch that. Our overextended financial budget for our household, that's not stressing us out. We're not going to make any effort to fix that. Our constantly, be it on Saturdays, Sundays, or every night, weeknight, at the ball field and all of the recreation, that's not stressing us out. We're not going to touch any of that. The chaotic mess of our home life, the stress of our children, all of these various issues, those things, no, they're not stressing us out. We're not going to back away from any of those things, but it is the work of God that is stressing us out. And so one of the first things we do is say, I just can't do it anymore. I'm going back away from doing what God built me to do. Doing what God put me on this earth to do. Did you know that you were born to serve the Lord?
Amen.
You were not born to mow your grass. You were not born to run to your job. You were not born to go to all the recreation. Those are all byproducts of life. We all understand that, and we have to do it. You, however, were born to serve God.
Amen.
I want to be gracious, but I want to be very honest. Would you allow me to do that? Everyone that is striving to live a victorious Christian life and everyone that is committed to leaving nothing undone in it, everyone that is making those efforts are tired. Every one of them are overwhelmed. Every one of them are stressed out. And it is only making it worse when some of us just decide that we're just going to back away from the battle.
Amen.
We're just going to put another measure of the load on somebody else. And the reason we are seeing good God's people step away from the service of God is because truly there's not enough of God's people that are helping them bear the burden and carry the load of serving the Lord. The bottom line is, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to leave nothing undone when this life is over, you're going to be tired. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to be overwhelmed. It's going to be a cost that comes to your body. Memorial Day, I carried my girls to Wendy's to get a hamburger. Melissa was working. And Memorial Day, you know, let's go get a hamburger. So Wendy's was the closest. It was before Freddy's was open. So Wendy's was the closest. So we went up there, and we sat down at our table, and we began talking. And one of the girls, I was talking to them about Memorial Day, what it stood for, how we should honor it, and our position of making a big deal out of those who paid the high price that we were able to sit there and have that hamburger. And one of my girls asked the question about the draft and said, do you think that the United States will ever implement the draft again? And so we talked about that for a little while. We went on, and I kept thinking about it, though, throughout the week. Can you imagine what would happen today if our government decided and the need was there to implement a draft with this current generation that we have in their current state as they are, as a whole? Can you imagine what would happen if a draft was implemented? Can you imagine them going to basic training? This crowd that's out there today. Can you imagine? I mean, just try to ponder that and think about that for just a minute. They would whine and cry about everything. Oh, the days are just too long. I'm just so tired. It's just too hot out here. The work is just too hard. There's not a Starbucks near the obstacle course. But if they did somehow make it through basic training, imagine what that crowd would be like if they had to land on the battlefield and the day that the helicopter, the chopper, landed them out on the battlefield and they had to step out with bullets flying all over the place and bombs dropping. Can you see this crowd today? You don't have to look far in this world to see them. Can you see what would happen with this crowd today? Oh, these combat boots, they're just too heavy. This army green color they're making me wear, it just looks hideous on me. I need some Allegra. My allergies are killing me. No, it's a battle. It's a war. It's a fight that you've got to fight. There is no place, ladies and gentlemen, for weaklings in the fight. There is no place for those of us who are so often cowardly, not just to get in, but to stay in the fight. It's a battle. It's a fight. You've got to be committed to it. And understand this. The Lord is giving us a bird's eye view, and He is saying that when you get into the battle, striving to leave nothing undone for the Lord and live a victorious Christian life, it's going to be stressful. It's going to make you tired. It's going to overwhelm you. But just accept it. That's the only way you're going to live a victorious Christian life. Amen. Is if you just accept the fact. Amen. That you're going to have to fight. And you're going to have to fight hard. But you need to know it's a joy to fight this battle. Amen. There's no greater joy than pillowing your head after a long week of vacation Bible school and you're exhausted, you're frustrated with those kids, you want to do everything you can even to avoid them, to teach them a thing or two about those that are kicking you and beating you up and dumping water all over you, have no respect or whatsoever. You don't want to mess with it. It's a battle. It's a fight. It's a fight to get up from your nap and get to choir practice and get to church. It's a fight to get to Sunday school. It's a battle sometimes. It's a battle to get here on Wednesday night. But I tell you, if you're going to live a victorious Christian life, leaving nothing undone, it is a fight you're going to have to be in. You can coast through life, and you can come to the end of the road and have nothing to give to God in return. After everything He's giving to us, what a travesty that would be. This is a fight. This is a battle. You can come on, Brother Timothy. I was this week, I guess it was Thursday night, I laid down to go to bed in South Carolina, and I just hopped on my phone and I was looking at our internet footprint, our Facebook, the church's Facebook, and our website. And I appreciate so much those that were making such efforts. There's a great group of folks here that are working hard to try to get some things updated and take us to the next level, and I appreciate that. I can't name every name involved, but I know people are putting a lot of effort into it, and they're doing a great job. Doing a great job. And if you've not looked at some of the changes, particularly on the church website, you need to go look at them now. And I laid there Thursday night. I don't know where you were at midnight, 1 o'clock. I was up there. I was glad I was alone. But I started flipping through what was probably hundreds of pictures that had been added to our website and videos and various things. And I started looking at what God has done. A picture tells a thousand stories, doesn't it? I started looking at what the Lord's done, what God has brought us through. I started looking at people who've been baptized. I saw some of the pictures that we had taken with people who had been saved the day that they had gotten saved, and some of the activities. And I looked at Bible school this past month and all the things, and I was amazed at what God had done. Amen. And I sat there and I rejoiced. And then the thought hit me. It's been a battle. I look at all those events. I looked at youth camps. And I know what went into them things that people don't even know about. I looked at the Bible schools and the crusades that we've had. I looked at the missions conferences. I looked at the revivals. I looked at the Sunday school. I looked at all of this stuff. And then the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, the only way all that stuff has happened is because there's been some people who were willing to fight the battle. They were willing to have that somatic, that stressful aspect of the battle. They were willing to work 10 hours a day and still come to church to whatever event. They were willing to spend all of Friday night and Saturday for a fall festival setting up, doing it, and cleaning up, and then going home. The picture sometimes that say the most is the people who set up and the people who are the same that clean up and are there all deer in the middle, just serving God. Amen. And there's not one person here today, you're just like me, who would look at all those photographs. And I didn't remember one day that I was just tired when I looked back. I was just glad I was there. I'm glad, so glad that I had the opportunity to taste a little bit of it. I want to ask you something. Is your picture there? Yeah, as you go and you look, do you see your picture there? Be it because some of us may be new, or be it because maybe some of us just haven't gotten involved, or whatever the case is. Oh, that's fine. The question is, come this time next year, will your picture be there? Three aspects of the battle. And the first one that we're talking about is the stressful aspect. If you're going to serve God, you're going to pay a price physically to do it. You're going to be tired. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be stressed out. Let's rise to our feet on this Sunday morning. And maybe today you just need to find you a place.